Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 431. We are out in the studio this week because I have been tearing out a wall. I don't know if we've got to the point in the Groove Machine Dome videos for you to know what's going on, but I'm tearing out another wall, ladies and gentlemen. And the more I get into it, the more confused I become. That is usually how it goes. How are you? This week on the show, we're going to look at some weird news, obviously. We've got a new film called Gaslight, a new song from Warren Zevon. We're going to read some reviews for a little game called Gun, and we're going to dig into the back of a box for another little game called Gun Grave. It's exciting stuff. Over on the YouTube machine and at the Jason's Groove Machine website, we have, let's see, I'm recording this on the 8th. When are you guys going to see this? I love this. You're going to see this episode on Thursday the 11th, which I believe is when we're going to have the finale of Final Fantasy Tactics. And if you happened over to the YouTube channel, you will have seen the state of the channel for April. And that would have given you a clue. A clue as to the game we're going to be playing next after Final Fantasy Tactics. Of course, if you're listening to this after April 11th, then you already know. So, there you go. We've got some more Dredge happening. If you want to join us for a stream on that, that's every Monday over on Twitch. And I hope you're ready for the eclipse this week, because if you're one of them QAnon people, or you're thinking the rapture is going to come, I got news for you. You're crazy. Especially you, old three toes, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Earthquakes, eclipses, God must be angry, she says. I'm pretty angry. Because you still have a job. Anyway, let's not get into that. kick their ass. You are an assassin on a mission to annihilate the criminal organization that betrayed you. Use your twin guns to dispatch thousands of foes with artistic grace. Unleash explosive special attacks and shoot holes in anything that gets in your way, living or otherwise. Become a perfect killing machine and send wave upon wave of enemy thugs to their graves. Nightmarish boss battles, super-powered special weapons, disposable enemies in destructive environments, dramatic original animation weaves a dark story of revenge. This is Gungrave, developed by Red Entertainment, published by Sega, released in 2002 for the PlayStation 2. It's a third-person arcade shooter, and it's the first in the Gungrave franchise, which I think there's four games in the series now. I've got this one, I've got the second one, and one just recently came out for PC, so I grabbed it too. I kind of like the Gungrave games. The second one's a little weird. We're veering off into JoJo's Bizarre Adventure territory. Don't know how I feel about that. But, you know, what can you do? I didn't make the game. Speaking of making the game, there was an anime made after the game. The game came out to, I would say, moderate critical and player reviews. And then they made an anime out of it that really... It took a lot of influence from Dragon Ball Z because it's about 75% longer than it needed to be. Very good, though. Very, very unique. I like the art style. Really like most of the music. Story's pretty good. Yeah, pretty damn good game. I would recommend you check it out. So, reviews, let's sort by GameCube, because that's the one we played. There aren't many of them. And, yeah, I'm not surprised that I don't see any regular contributors here. Shotgun Nova's here. They write some good guides. Somehow we ended up back on all platforms. GameCube. There we go. Yeah, nobody. Let's look at this one. Let's look at this one. And this one. And we'll start with this one first. Why? I don't know. I clicked it first. What a wild ride, said The Truth Hurts Me in 2006. What an awesome game. The storyline is solid, the graphics are amazing, and the guns historically realistic. When you think of the Old West, you might think of cowboys herding cows and sitting around a fire singing Kumbaya. But let me tell you that you are in for a surprise in this Wild West shootout. You start off as a common hunter, but with practice and skill upgrades, you can increase your efficiency in no time. The ability to increase your stats come up as side missions. You can choose the side mission from being a bounty hunter to keeping the peace in the city to winning the cards tournament. From these missions, you can earn money to buy additional upgrades to your guns. Also, as you progress through the main missions, you will gain additional guns from the bosses. You can have a pistol, a shotgun, a rifle, a bow, a sniper, and some TNT. In some of the missions, you have to keep up with a certain enemy or make sure to protect your comrade's health. Your friends and allies often have a HP counter on the left side of the screen. Be sure to take a look to check your friend's health, otherwise you'll have to do the mission over again. The bosses can be a bit challenging, so you want to be sure that you accomplish all side missions possible to keep your stats up. In the game, you get the full experience of being a wild cowboy who doesn't need to follow the rules. If you want to kill somebody, go ahead. Just make sure you have enough bullets to take care of them. The reason this game is rated M is because it contains many curse words ranging in vulgarness, and in the game there are many direct references to prostitutes and sex. This game is incredible. I would give it a perfect 10, but since I play games in a family environment, I cannot have such words and references in my presence. But you played the game. All around a good game. Be sure to check with your parents before you purchase, and if you play this game in a public area, be sure to have the volume down. That's right, don't take this one to the grocery store with you. The Truth Hurts Me gave it a 9. That's weird. I play video games in a public space, so I can't have vulgar language. That would be wrong. I Am the Knight 1003 in 2006 says, oh so short, but oh so sweet. Gun is the perfect Wild West games. Many games have tried before, but Gun succeeds more than any before it. It has great characters, great gameplay, and a great, but short, storyline. Sound? 9. The voice acting is brilliant. So many great names are behind the memorable voices in this game. Guns sound powerful, and the music catches the mood nicely. The horse sounds are also very nicely done. Galloping hooves hitting the ground, crying out when you spur them. It's all great. Graphics? 8. There's nothing brilliant, but they're not bad either. What's great is how you can see the bullets coming when you use your quick draw or slow motion power. The people all look decent and the environments are realistic, but not very detailed. It just looks like the old, slightly barren West. Story 10. While it is very short and is gone before you know it, the story is great. All the characters are memorable and unique. I loved all the characters. There's such a huge cast of greatly voiced characters that drive the story. You will always be sad when any of these great characters, good or bad, bite the dust. The story starts off in a cliched manner, but quickly starts taking wild turns and keeps you guessing till the end. Gameplay 10. The game captures the Wild Wild West gameplay oh so well. The shooting is fun and intuitive, the gun feels accurate and powerful, the horse riding is superb, and shooting off horseback is easy to do, but still challenging enough to be fun. The missions are all very entertaining and vary from stagecoach chases to playing good old Texas Hold'em poker, and everywhere in between. And all these things are so well done that you just can't stop playing, excuse me. Which leads me to the length. Very short. This game keeps you on the edge of your seat and you will not want to let go of the controller. Because of this, you can go through the whole game in one good day. They could have slipped more missions in for each of the characters you work for instead of just doing one or two missions per person. The only thing that blemishes this beautiful game. Summary: great voice acting, memorable unique characters, brilliant cowboy gameplay, puts you in the Wild Wild West, but very short. ¾ + ⁇ = 7.5 (parenthesis round up because I love this game) ) = 8! I think he meant, is he like doing 3 ÷ 4? Did he have 4 things? He had sound, graphics, story, gameplay, and length. So no, that's 5 things. Unless he's doing the summary, because he's got 4 things in the summary, 3 are positives, 1's a negative. So I'm assuming that's what he's doing. He finishes up, rental or buy. Rent this game. Don't buy it, but definitely rent it. If you have doubts, don't. This is one of my favorite games of the year. The only reason I wouldn't buy it is because you will finish it so fast. And they gave it an 8. I am the Knight 1003. Odd little review. I like that you talked about the voice acting, but didn't bother to tell anybody who any of the voice actors were. That's a little weird. All right, our last review from Roll Tide, 1992-1, or 19921. 2008. They say Descent, but could have been much better. I think they meant decent. Introduction. Gun is a fairly enjoyable game, but you will get the feeling that it could have been much better as you are playing. You probably won't play it for more than a couple of days, however, because it's agonizingly short. Gameplay, 6 out of 10. This is the most important part of any game, and Gun does well in some areas and not so well in others. One of the minor annoyances is the weapon selection. You have to hold left on the D-pad and then press the C-stick in the direction of the weapon that you want to use. This is really annoying when you're in the middle of a firefight and can get you killed. Besides the weapon selection, the rest of the controls are okay. The AI isn't very good either. They will take cover sometimes, but will usually stand out in the open for you to pick them off. When you are behind something, they will blindly run at you, which will make it easy for you to pick them off. Also, if you shoot someone with a bow right in front of another enemy, they will just sit there and watch their friend as he crawls around with an arrow in his back. You will take a fair amount of damage during a gunfight, so you always have a whiskey flask with you that refills all of your health. It's a true story. I need to take that inside, top it up. One of the cheapest things for you is the quick draw. You have a meter next to your health meter indicating how much quick draw you have left. While using it, the game goes into slow motion and you can automatically target enemies by flicking the control stick in their direction. By doing this, you can easily wipe out a large group of enemies. You can upgrade your weapons by going to the shopkeepers around the world. The hunting is very fun, and there's an Indian that will tell you to hunt a certain animal. He will tell you where it is usually at. If you kill it with a gun, it will destroy the pelt and you will get less money than you would if you killed it with a bow. The rest of the side missions are very fun to do. They range from tracking down outlaws to playing No Limit Texas Hold'em, which the AI also sucks at. One thing that will keep you playing a little longer is finding all the gold throughout the land, which requires a pickaxe. The game does a great job of depicting what the Old West was like. When you're walking through the streets of the city, sometimes two of the civilians will start shooting at each other, and you can cheat at poker. I'm going to let you know that that was the wrong two. When you were walking through the streets of the city, sometimes two ward of the civilians will start shooting at each other. Two as in, I'm going to that place. I was confused. Story, 4 out of 10. The story should sound familiar if you're a fan of Western movies. A cowboy is trying to avenge his father's death at the hands of an evil preacher and some of his accomplices, which would spoil the story for you if I told who some of them are. I don't know that I've ever seen a Western movie where that happened, but okay. Graphics, 6 out of 10. The graphics are about what you would expect from a GameCube game. The character models are reused to a ridiculous extent. Even some of the characters in the cutscene look the same. There's a lot of gore, but it's not over the top. When you shoot someone in the head point blank with a high-powered rifle, it's gonna come off. Sound, 9 out of 10. The music in this game is very well done. The voice acting is kind of weird. Some of it is terrible and some of it is good. One of the things that doesn't make sense is how the Indians won't be able to speak English one minute and then be fluid in the language the next. Rent or buy? Renting is probably a good option because you'll have beaten it by the time you have to take it back anyway. And Roll Tide 19921 gave it a 6. Now, I am, I would say I'm kind of... I don't know. Looking at some of the other reviews for all the other versions, we've got a lot of 7s, a lot of 6s. There's a few 9s in the detailed full reviews. It's mostly 8s and 9s, but there's a couple 7s and a 6. Quick goes all the way down to a 4. The Xbox version has a 3. It's got another 3. I don't know what version that's for, but it wasn't the GameCube version. Scrolling through here, I don't see that any of our regular contributors reviewed any of the versions so far. Oh, Horror Spooky, Xbox 360, gave it a 7. I promise, Horror Spooky is not me, even though it seems like he reviews all the same games I do. Maybe he's watched them. He's like, oh, I should play that. Yeah, Yeah, he's the only one. Here's my thoughts. I think the graphics are good. They're decent. They're better than, I would say, most of the other games that came out in 2005 that I've seen. I think the music is excellent. I think the story's pretty good. It's not award-winning by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's pretty good. I think the casting for the voices was excellent. Like I said, there's a lot of really good people in here. Thomas Jane, Kris Kristofferson, Brad Dourif, Ron Perlman, that other guy whose name I can't remember. There's a bunch of good people. I honestly don't remember all of them. So that's all fine. I think the gameplay is really good. I do agree that switching weapons at first is a little awkward because you have to open a menu and then select from the menu while you're trying to do other stuff. So it does take two hands to do it, which is not a bad idea because it does make it really relatively quick when you get accustomed to it. There's no pause the gameplay, go to a menu, tab over to your equipment, unequip the one thing, equip the other thing, go back. You know, it's not a Resident Evil style weapon selection, which I think keeps the pace up a little bit, which is what you want in a game like this. Challenge wise, the game is pretty easy. Some parts are a little harder than others, but some are not. And that's even something that the developers have said, that the game is a shortcoming of the game. There was scheduling issues, and a lot of people who worked on it hadn't really worked on this kind of thing before. So they gave the game, you know, normal, easy, normal, hard kind of stuff. But because the time schedule was so tight, they couldn't really... Easy was supposed to be harder. Basically, every level of the game was supposed to be a little harder than it ended up being what it was. In fact, I'm reading a little thing here, some trivia for the game, and where are we at? We sat back and depended on the players to select the appropriate challenge level for their particular tastes. What the hell were we smoking? In the video game market, asking players to set their skill level before they've even played the game is a freaking naive way to go about it. They said they knew something was wrong when game reviewers were blowing through the game on normal, when really, hard would have been more suitable. We could have immediately foreseen legions of highly skilled game reviewers sprinting through our game at breakneck speed, making the short game issue even worse. Now that's funny, because today, if you pick up a game, like I think the last three brand new games I've played, it asks you right at the beginning, how hard do you want your gameplay experience to be? Do you want it to be puzzle focused? Do you want it to be combat focused? Do you want to just breeze through it and get to the story and get it done as quick as possible? Or, you know, I think that's 2005, 19 years ago, that happened, and they're like, God, that was a dumb idea. And now it's normal. It's the rule, not the exception. I don't know other games were doing that before then. Mega Man 2 specifically comes to mind, but still, it's just funny to me. What would I give this game? I think I'd give this game an 8. I think an 8's fair. Everything is really good. It is just too short. I wish there was a little more to do. The game world is very small, kind of. It's kind of cordoned off in areas. There's a couple of towns. There's the road you travel to go between the towns. There's like a canyon. There's a river. And then there's some mountains. And that's really it. And you just go from one to the other and you do a few things in each. And then you leave and you go somewhere else and do a few things. Rarely do you have to leave one and go to the other unless it's a subquest, side quest mission kind of thing. The game is kind of split up into chapters, and you can tell when you've changed one because Colt, our hero, has clothes change. Very Final Fantasy Tactics. But yeah, I think that's my biggest critique. I think the game could have been a little longer. Could have made a little better use of the fine characters and voice actors that you got to be a part of your game. Thank you. Y'all know who Angela Lansbury is, right? And y'all know that she was a Murder, She Wrote lady and then Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Well, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, her film debut, 1944, an American psychological thriller starring Charles Boyer, Ingrid Bergman, Joseph Cotten, and it's called Gaslight, which is where the term comes from. Really, follows a young woman whose husband slowly manipulates her into believing that she is descending into insanity. It was a remake of a 1940 British film by the same name. This version had a larger budget than the early one and has a different feel to it. To avoid confusion, the original version was going to be titled The Murder in Thornton Square. Film features numerous deviations from the stage play, though the central drama remains that of a husband trying to drive his wife insane to distract her from his criminal activities. It's a fantastic movie. It is a really fantastic movie, and I gotta tell you, when I say the name Angela Lansbury to you, you know, it's kind of like when you say Betty White, everybody just sees Golden Girls. When you say Angela Lansbury, you see Murder, She Wrote. She was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous when she was a younger lady. This is, man. Perfectly cast in this movie, I think. Anybody else of note in the cast? Not seeing anybody. Yeah, fantastic movie. If you guys watched Witness for the Prosecution a couple weeks ago, and you enjoyed it, I would say you'll enjoy this one as well. I think it's a great movie. Well worth a watch. I mean, it's 80 years later. We're still using the term. I need some of this. I have coffee with me. It's not whiskey. It's only 9:30 in the morning. Why would I do that? News. Let's start. Democracy in action, everybody. As the November presidential election looms with incumbent Joe Biden, 81, and former President Donald Trump, 77, squaring off again, some American voters would like to see literally anybody else on the ballot, and literally anybody else of North Richland Hills, Texas, wants to give them a chance. I would just like to take a moment before we get into news. Everybody's saying, Joe Biden's too old. He and Donald Trump were in high school at the same time. And one of them can ride a bike, and one of them can't walk down a flight of stairs without getting winded. 35-year-old 7th grade math teacher and U.S. Army vet who legally changed his name from Dustin Eby, the candidate, says his goal is to inspire change. Quote, America should not be stuck choosing between the king of debt, his self-declaration, and an 81-year-old, reads the declaration of ELSA's campaign website. Literally anybody else isn't just a person, it's a rally cry. NBC5 Dallas-Fort Worth reports that ELSA needs the signatures of 113,151 registered voters who did not vote in the presidential primary by May 13th in order to run as an independent candidate. I hate to tell you this, buddy. Look, I'm all for, like, run for office. If you think it's wrong and you want to make it a little better, go run for office. This is not how you do that. Like, there's no way you're going to win, number one. There's no way you're getting on the ballot in any state, number two. And I would bet a lot of people who are listening to this show right now hadn't heard of you until this show right now. And you know how many people listen to this show? Like 10. I don't want to dissuade you. I just think you're going about it the wrong way. Next, Survivor. We've heard of dogs and cats going missing only to turn up at their owner's doorsteps weeks, months, or even years later. Now we can add snakes to that list. The BBC reported that the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, that's a lot more interesting than PETA, were recently called to a residence in Spennymoor, County Durham, to rescue a 3-foot-long corn snake atop a garage roof. The snake had escaped a crow that attempted to carry it off. When a neighbor came by to see the rescued critter, she recognized it as her pet snake, Agnes, who'd been missing for a year. The RSPCA inspector John Lawson was surprised that the snake had survived out in the cold for so long, and the vet believes Agnes had gone into burmation mode, similar to hibernation, and her body had shut down in order to survive. I do that every day. Lawson said all that. Agnes received treatment for a respiratory infection before being reunited with her owner. Ah, if snakes got the sniffles, they can't wipe their nose. They got no arms. Have it your way, pal. Some people go to extremes to get a great deal, but on March 31st, one disgruntled customer at a Burger King drive-thru in Willowick, Ohio, pulled a firearm on the employee who was trying to give him a discount on his breakfast item. The employee, Howard Vernon, 38, told WOIO 19, WOIO, that when he gave the customer's total, the man argued that it should cost more. Quote, I'm, like, trying to explain to him that we had a promotion going on, and he started cussing and getting all loud, Vernon said. The enraged man drove his gray Honda sedan out of the drive-thru, but quickly returned, stepped out of his car, and pointed a gun at Vernon. After threatening him and calling him racial slurs, the man returned to his car and sped away. It was about some bread and sausage sandwiches at 9 o'clock in the morning on Easter, Vernon said. And you're that mad that you'd put a gun in somebody's face? Authorities are still searching for the customer. Why are we surprised? This is America. That's what we do. We wave guns around in drive-thrus. It's like our national pastime. Male pattern boldness, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, fugitives have feelings too. After the Avon and Somerset police posted a wanted notice on Facebook on April 1st describing Daniel Kellaway, a wanted fugitive, as white, about 5'9", of average build, with brown eyes, receding hairline, .. Kellaway, or someone claiming to him, replied, no need to mention the hairline, guys. A comment posted by the same account the next day reminded the police that Kellaway's birthday had passed since the information was compiled for the notice, and that he was now 29. Kellaway is being sought in connection with driving offenses, criminal damage, and threatening behavior, so while social media users got a kick out of Kellaway's comical posts, authorities have warned the public not to approach him and to call the authorities if he is spotted. Next, a story of ghastly. After having lurked quietly on the shelves of Harvard's Houghton Library for the better part of a century, the philosophical meditation Des Destinies de l'Âme has undergone a facelift, according to a statement issued by the library in March. The book was acquired by the school in 1934, along with a note explaining the process of preserving human skin. The book's previous owner, an eccentric French bibliophile named Dr. Ludovic Boland, claimed to have added the human touch. in quotes, that means human skin, to his prize because, quote, a book about the human soul deserved to have a human covering. The cover's origin could not be confirmed until 2014, and NBC News reported that this eventually led to an ethical review in 2023 and the recent decision to rebind the book in something less macabre. It's preserved. Leave it alone. It's leather bound. All right? Don't ask where the leather's from. Ludovic is the basis for the name of the shark in the Raw Shark Texts book, which I highly recommend. I really hope he writes another one because I really liked that book and he hasn't done it yet. And it's been like 16 years. Come on, Stephen. Paul. Write me another book. Youth in Action. Young people are cutting loose and losing their blues in Cambodia, but rather than embracing the footloose of it all, The Guardian reports that Prime Minister Hun Manet is cracking down on the source, vehicle owners and operators who replace their car's standard horns with ones that blast popular tunes. So enticing are these familiar refrains that young Cambodians are literally dancing in the streets, which the Prime Minister says poses a traffic hazard. He has directed the Ministry of Public Works and Transportation, along with Cambodia's police force, to crack down on vehicle operators whose horns emit anything other than the standard honk. I don't know about Cambodia, but I can tell you that the most common pitch for a car horn in North America is an F.
Guitar sitting right there. What am I supposed to do?
Continuing on with Youth in Action. It says Youth in Action, one word, like they're not acting, but clearly the problem with that story is that they are indeed very in space action. Students and parents at Alston Ridge Elementary in Cary, North Carolina, have been dealing with a unique carpool annoyance, an aggressive pest of a turkey. WTVD in Durham reports that the bird pecks at cars, windows, people, any perceived threat in his territory. This was a young male turkey who probably was looking for a mate and was unable to find one, State Cary Animal Services Officer Beth Wilson. He was trying to claim a territory and I guess he decided the carpool lane was gonna be it. Wilson predicts Lonely Tom will chill out just as soon as his hormones die down. Oh, it's an incel turkey. Very similar behavior. Heart in the right place. Right about here. Right here. Some people have it over here. This right here. That's the thing. There's a Frank Herbert story, short story, where one of the big plot twists at the end is that our hero, our detective, his heart's on the wrong side. It's on the right side, not the left side. Which is like a real thing. It happens. It's like less than 1% of the global population, I think. I thought it was just sci-fi voodoo wizardry, but nope, it's true. Most of Frank Herbert's sci-fi voodoo wizardry has at least a toe in the water of reality. Anyway, thinking that she had spotted an abandoned baby hedgehog on the side of the road, an animal lover in England carefully gathered the creature into a box lined with newspaper and took it home, setting out some cat food and leaving it undisturbed overnight. After realizing it hadn't moved or eaten, she took the box to Lower Moss Wood Nature Reserve and Wildlife Hospital in Cheshire the next morning, where hospital manager Janet Coates, quote, realized it wasn't a hedgehog. The fluffy, spicy, hedgehog-colored creature was actually the pom-pom from a winter beanie. Because the elderly rescuer had kept her distance through the night, she hadn't noticed the ball's lack of eyes or ears, but her compassion melted the staff's members' hearts, and now they're dead. Coates said the woman did absolutely the right thing, aside from the fact that it wasn't a hedgehog. Okay, you heard it here, folks. The Lower Moss Wood Nature Reserve and Wildlife Hospital in Cheshire recommends that you pick up injured animals on the side of the road. No, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. If that's an armadillo, please don't lick it. All the luck. A Pennsylvania shopper took home one heck of a gift with purchase, the cashier's diamond wedding ring. Cindy Tristani, the cashier at a Burlington, in Uniontown, told WPXI-TV, Pixie TV, that she looked down during her shift and realized her ring was gone. Her coworkers joined her in a panicked search, but found nothing. What she called a long shot, Tristani, posted on a local Facebook groups page, if anyone was shopping at Burlington Uniontown today, I think my diamond ring might have fell in someone's bag. This all happened on Tristani's mother's birthday. She's been dead for 3 years, but can always find anything. So the cashier included a plea to her mom and a quick prayer before getting back to work. Lo and behold, customer Kate Giles checked Facebook on the way home. No, she wasn't driving, this says. Saw the post and checked her shopping bags, and jackpot! Returning the missing ring made my heart so full, Giles said. It was the best moment. Melting hearts, hearts full, people praying to their dead moms on Facebook, because that's where you do it. Everybody knows the dead check their Facebook like all the freaking time. Right? Warren, we are looking at a song from Bad Luck Streak in Dancing School called Bill Lee. Now, Bill Lee, William Francis Lee III, nicknamed Spaceman, former professional baseball left-handed pitcher who played for the Red Sox and the Expos. He was inducted into the Red Sox Hall of Fame, record holder for most games pitched by a left-hander, and the third highest win total by a Red Sox southpaw. I don't know any of that because I don't care about baseball. I think baseball's boring. Somewhere in here. Lee's personality earned him popularity as well as the nickname Spaceman, given to him by former Red Sox infielder John Kennedy. Outspoken manner, frequently recorded in the press, spoke in defense of Maoist China, population control, Greenpeace, and school busing in Boston. He defended W. Arthur Garrity Jr. by stating that he was the only guy in town with any guts. Berated an umpire, threatening to bite off his ear and encourage the American people to write letters demanding the game be replayed. When asked about his views on mandatory drug testing, he quipped, I've tried just about all of them, but I wouldn't want to make it mandatory. He wrote a book in 1984 called The Wrong Stuff. He claimed his marijuana use made him impervious to bus fumes while jogging to work at Fenway Park. He's an interesting guy. There's the song about him. Oh, apparently he ran for governor in 2016. Subject of the song, Bill Lee on Warren Zevon's Bad Luck Streak in Dancing School. It's a short little tune. I think it's a fun little one. It comes in at about a minute 37. It's the third shortest one, on the album. And it's just got some nice little lyrics, you know? Sometimes I say things I shouldn't. Like, so on and so forth. and gentlemen, that is it. That's the end of this week's edition of Electric Leftovers. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please consider leaving us a rating and a review and sharing the episode on your social medias with your friends, with your relatives, with people you really can't stand. However you want to do it, I'm totally on board with anything. If you would like more of this irreverent kind of nonsense, you can check out videos for any of the games that we talked about on today's show, like Final Fantasy Tactics, Gungrave, Dredge, and Gun over at jasonsgroovemachine.com. You can join us Monday nights on Twitch, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, for a stream every week. Get new episodes of this very show every Thursday, live and archived whenever you want them, I guess. And hundreds and hundreds of, if not thousands of videos for you to peruse on the Jason's Groove Machine website. That's all I have for you this week. I'm going to go. I will catch you guys later. I should go finish that wall, but I think I'm out of room for all the crap I need to keep throwing away. So I think we might be done with that project for the day. Thank you again. Take care. We'll see you.